sound exciting to you?
Hey, welcome back to the greatest fans around the world, Shadow Nation! To the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio! Get ready for it, wait, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, Demon Hunter! Yes, you've taken yourself out again. Yes.
Are you saying I'm not, you can't hear me?
I can hear you, you sound so great.
Okay.
You cool. Sound terrific, Demon Hunter!
That's me.
Actually, I messed up that time. I took you out, and I didn't bring you back in. My fault.
Well, that's like our huge technological problem at the beginning of the show when I didn't have my headphones turned on.
It's like Apollo 13 when he says, hey, we just had our glitch for this mission, gentlemen. I doubt this is the only one, Demon Hunter. Hey, we were off last week. We had technical difficulties. We're trying to bring you the best in quality, the best in sound each week. Huh?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's what we're trying. Yeah. We spend all the money. We just don't know how to use any of the equipment.
Yeah, we got the money. We got the equipment. It's still boxed up. It's good to be back. The mics are hot, and the greatest show in radio is back on the air, and we can't wait to get started. Great show tonight. It's good to be back. And Demon Hunter, what's been going on this week, buddy?
They found parts of the plane that we were discussing, Sean.
I heard that. Now, this still doesn't do away with my Bermuda Triangle type conspiracy, because the Bermuda Triangle could still produce some parts. It could have, you know.
When planes are lost in the Bermuda Triangle, they don't find anything.
Well, I mean, how do we know that? Have we searched any records? And I'm going to look that up. You keep talking. Any parts of planes found? Yeah, what's the story, though? They found some of it, but...
They found pieces, and they're still calling it a rescue mission. However, at this point, you know, let's face it. If you're listening from, Australia right now, because we do have a lot of listeners in Australia.
We
and
do.
The families
Good
of
day,
those
mate.
People are
sure
lost. We're very sorry, but
we are.
I just got to say, at this point, I can't see how this is a rescue mission.
No, I can't either, unfortunately. Things like that happen. So we wish all the best to the families, guys.
It's one of those, horrible incidents. And now they're trying to figure out why the plane took the turn that it took, went off its course the way that it did, just flew until it ran out of gas, pretty much.
Well, I mean, who knows, man? Who knows? I still say aliens.
They do know that for some unknown reason, it dropped 5,000 feet.
5,000 feet.
Yeah, it just dropped to 5,000 feet. It just was flying along and then just dropped to 5,000 feet.
So think about
there might have been something that happened inside, that loss of cabin pressure or something, and they dropped to 5,000 feet to deal with that. But why didn't they communicate with anybody? Nobody knows yet. That black box is probably in the plane, and the plane is probably at the bottom of the ocean. So
probably.
It could be a while till we find out what really happened.
See, that just shows you, Demon Hunter. That just shows you that even in today's world with our technology, people can go missing, planes can go missing, things can happen. Huh?
My question is this, Sean. If the black box can survive anything, why don't they make the entire plane out of the stuff they make the black box out of?
It would cost too much. Somebody was saying, I forget what comedian was, says if they can make parts on the space shuttle that can last like 30,000 years, but they can't make a Volvo that'll last more than 12 going down the interstate, you know?
Yeah.
That was funny. Comedian. That was my attempt at comedy tonight. So I'm going to try.
Everybody's allowed to attempt it.
Yeah, they are allowed to attempt it. But anyway, Demon Hunter, I seen something very interesting this week. I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to bring it up on the air.
I would love to hear what you have to say, Sean.
All right. I was at the gas station this week, and I had seen a woman, and she must have been upwards of 90.
Okay.
And she was pumping gas, and I thought, oh, isn't that cute, you know? And she had on... She was a blue hair, man. She was a blue hair. She was pumping gas. And I remember thinking, man, she needs help or whatever. She turned around. And lo and behold, to my surprise, she had to have breast implants. Because her boobs, man, were up to her throat and they were sticking straight out. And that's a big question I've had. If a woman gets boobie implants, How long do they last? I mean, when they droop, right? Even if it's balloons. I mean, well, the skin.
It's silicone. It's, you know, and if she keeps getting the plastic surgery, let's face it, Sean, 50 ain't 50 anymore. You see people on television who are 50 years old.
Yeah.
Who look, you know, younger than you and me. And yeah, they've got the time and the money to spend on looking beautiful, but nature still takes its course. And if you look like that, there's surgery involved.
Yeah, but I mean, don't you want to do that? I mean, I don't want to get breast implants, but when you get older, like cheek, you know, raise your cheeks or get rid of your bags. You wouldn't consider doing that?
You know what? If I was a television personality and they told me I had to do it to keep my job, I'd consider it. But, you know, my dad had every weathered scar and wrinkle on his body from his life and working on the farm and doing all the hard work. And I want to wear those same badges of honor. You know?
Well, some men are very large, more so than others. And sometimes I might have to get a reduction. Might start pulling on, you know.
Well, it's funny because when I first got my tattoos, because I have several tattoos that I got while I was, you have more than I have, but I have several tattoos pretty much I got on park benches from bikers during biker rallies in my wild and crazy days.
You're crazy.
But I was a rather large man back then. I weighed well over 200 pounds and it was all muscle. And now I'm a slim 170 and my arms have shrunk quite a bit since then. And so all the tattoos have kind of like collapsed in upon themselves.
Right, right. Well, the ink runs and stuff. Mine's faded a little bit, you know, out there.
Yeah, if I had been one of those guys who got like his body covered in tattoos for the freak shows, I'd be a goner.
Right. Well, that brings up a good thing. We were going to talk tonight, Demon Hunter, we were going to talk about one of the things that, see, this is a good lead-in. One of the things that totally freaks me out, and I see
you have to point out that I'm leading you in.
You are. That's a lead-in. I said it's a good lead-in. It is. You reminded me, but it's not really a lead-in. I got to point it out. Freak shows, man. Circus freaks. I don't know. I mean, I know they're nice people and everything, but I got to tell you, it's kind of like small people that are amputees. Remember, I tell you, I have nothing against them, but I something from childbirth, you know, I just cannot handle, it's spooky. It does something to me.
Go through childbirth, Sean. You belong in a freak show.
No, I'm talking about, you know, something from my childhood days.
Childhood.
Yeah. Childhood. Remember the childbirth? It's gonna be one of them nights, man. Remember that we were talking about that before. I was in a restaurant when I was probably five, and I'll never forget. There was a lady, and she was gorgeous. She was gorgeous, and she was.
I'm here for the gangbang.
She was waiting on our table, and she came up, and she had no arm, which you know it's a very terrible thing, cancer or anything. But I couldn't do. I was scared. I don't know why. It's just something.
And that created a phobia that has stuck with you your entire life?
Grief. Yeah, thanks, Charlie Brown. Don't you have anything you're scared of? Circus freaky people. Even though they're nice people, as we've seen, because they have hit series that were on. Well, not really hit. They didn't last long. Nice people, down to earth, awesome. They're still spooky.
Well, like, you know, I never, the whole circus freak aspect has never really scared me. My grandfather was a sword swallower.
Yeah, I know that. Well, that's a little different. I'm talking about Snake Man.
Yeah, but I mean, I worked in the carnivals. My grandfather was a sword swallower. And, you know, I grew up with respect for that whole culture. Moodily. The thing that always got me as a child, because the freak show still traveled when I was a young kid.
Right.
And they would come to with the carnival. They would come into town with the carnival. And I remember going as a child and to the freak shows, and the ones that always really upset me, being like growing up on a farm and having like, you know, we cared for our animals. We ate them, but we cared for them.
You cared how you prepared them.
Yes. But nice. We had the whole aspect of the fact that at the freak shows, there would be these I don't even the animal freak shows, the two-headed cow and the five-legged dog and you know the conjoined goat and all, you know. Yeah. And I just felt bad for those animals. It would literally I would the first time I ever went in, I paid my dollar and I went in and saw the freak show and I just wanted to cry when I left because I felt so bad for those animals. Not so much that they were on display or they'd they weren't mistreated, but I felt they were lonely. I was like, oh, these poor animals, you know, because we spent time taking care of the animals and I'm sure they did too, but you didn't see that. All you saw was this cow in a pen with two heads and a little barking dog who's had a fifth leg in the middle of his body. And
right.
I felt for them.
Well, I'm not saying I didn't pity, you know, I mean, I'm not cold. I felt that they were constantly, like in my dreams, that they would be after me, you know, like Jaws. They were coming for me.
Nothing is as bad as Jaws, Sean. I have told you this, sharks are the most evil creatures on the face of the earth. I have faced down demons and feel better about the aspect than dealing with a shark.
This is true, Demon Hunter. Sharks are bad. Well, you know, it's a little bit different. You know, I was saying, if you go to a circus and you're in there at night, these people roam around. You don't know if they have like a community or, you know, I always picture
community. I told you.
Yeah. Well, you did. But I always figured like the fat lady was the like the high priestess and the people would do her bidding, maybe send out the snake man to eat me in my sleep. You know, I'm sorry. That's what
you're totally mistaken, Sean.
Well,
it's the bearded lady who's the high priestess.
Well, see, when I was a kid, I seen that movie Freaks, classic movie. Remember that?
Barely.
And they were killing this guy and he was going and they had the monkskins going, kill him, kill him, kill him. And it was killing me, man. I was going, oh, no, no. You know? And remember the Karen Black movie with the doll?
I want a biggie fries.
Yeah. He had that doll. He went, yeah, 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 yeah. Remember, I had a chain around it and she broke the chain. It was a Godzilla doll or something like that. And it was called, it was from the Trilogy of Terror. With Karen Black.
I do remember the Trilogy of Terror.
Okay, and she had one of her boyfriends, some dude she was sleeping with, it might have been a one-night stand. Anyway, she made a great impression, so she must have been great in the sack. So he went on a safari or something. Of course, everybody's like Indiana Jones in these movies, and this guy was in wherever, Indonesia, and he gets this little thing that is a doll, and it was called some kind of a voodoo warrior, Zulu warrior doll. And she put it on the table, and she was looking at everything, and it said, do not remove chain. The little doll had a chain around it. It was all freaky looking. You can buy one online. And she put it on the counter, and she went, took a shower, and the chain broke. And then when she got out, it used to chase around the house, go, yeah, 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 yeah. And I used to have, and it had this little knife, and I mean, it would cut her feet up and her ankles, and she would jump on furniture and stuff. But anyway, I used to have dreams about that, too. Freaky, man.
I can't imagine how you ever got into the profession that we're now in, Sean.
That's true.
You have...
I don't know. Anyway, Demon Hunter, tonight's band, because we always play the latest, greatest music, maybe not the latest, but the greatest music, tonight's band, Distemper, name of the album, My Underground, from Russia, Demon Hunter, from Russia with Love. That's not the name of the album. The name of the album was My Underground, and they're a Russian band, if you guys might have known. I thought that would be fun. I thought that would be fun.
I don't know, Mr. Burris. Last time we had anyone on from Russia, the KGB came knocking on our door.
That's true. Special thanks to freemusicarchive.org for the tunes. Licensing by creativecommons.org. Thank you, thank you. And thank you to Distemper, Demon Hunter.
Yes.
What'd you think about that? You thought they were great.
Really? No, I did enjoy it, but you know, it's one of those things, just like when I don't go watch foreign films because I don't want to read subtitles.
Right. It had a good beat. Music, they say, is universal. I found myself, you know, stomping my feet to this song. It's universal, man. It's like love. Love can break any boundaries.
Sure. Love is universal. That's why we have war.
Well, think about it.
Universal too, Sean.
If you're American, you don't need to know the tunes, the lyrics of the song, so you don't need to understand Russian, okay? Because, like, Circus Dead Squirrels, we had them on, right? You don't understand English when it's like that either way, so...
Yeah, that's why you were able to enjoy this song more than I was, Sean, because you listen to music that you can't understand the words to begin with.
See?
So...
I learned how to stop listening to the tunes.
I did enjoy the music. I'm sure that if I spoke Russian, I would love the song.
Berserker!
The song.
Would you like to make a berserker? Remember that from, what was it?
That would be Clerks.
Clerks! Ah, oh, you got it. His Russian. What was his name? Sergey, sing. Rock and roll. Girl thinks sexy. Oh, that's great. Did you like that? Did you like the band, though? I really liked it.
I enjoyed the band. I did. All right. Like I said, I just wish I could have understood the words.
Okay. Well, hey, my search.
Me, man. That's just me. I'm just saying that's me.
Hey, my search for the new house, I put it on hold this week.
You did?
Yeah, it's been about 70 degrees here. Oh, I'm sorry. It's been about 55, 60 degrees here in Indiana. And I started doing some things around here. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find that dream house with the haunted, either a haunted house or a cemetery that's haunted.
Yeah, it's tough, you know. Chrissy and I have, I've had to agree with her. Basically, she's my wife, so I was made to agree with her that when it's time to move, no haunted houses. We're not moving into a haunted house.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Stacy said too. But I figured if I could,
she said it's bad enough I bring my work home with me. She doesn't want me to make my home my work.
Well, I was trying to get a hold of the people from that dollhouse. Remember, we had the dollhouse.com people on our show. Very creepy, man.
The haunted doll people.
Yeah, that was, 6 years ago or 5 years ago. I don't know. But anyway, they came on the show, Demon Hunter. And if you guys don't know dollhouse.com, go check it out. Something like that. Haunteddollhouse.com. Check it out. They have these dolls.
You're going to go to dollhouse.com and see like a Barbie dream home.
Look up Haunted Dolls. You'll see the website. I don't have the official website here. But they have a video camera on the webpage, and you can actually go there and sit for hours and wait to see one of these dolls move, and they do move, but I'm not there. I don't know if they're mechanical or whatever. So I asked the lady, Demon Hunter, if we could get one, because I got you a haunted doll.
You did.
If we could get another one.
Stuff happened the first week that we had it.
But yeah. A lot of people don't know about that. Tell them what happened.
You sent me the haunted doll for my birthday. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. So here I am. I'm 40 years old. I opened the birthday gift from my partner and buddy, and there's a fancy dressed doll inside.
A porcelain doll.
Yes, and inside a little note saying that this doll is haunted, and so we named the doll Jocelyn. Mm-hmm. And put it up on a shelf somewhere, and it started in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. in my bedroom.
Didn't she sleep with me in the guest room?
She's in here now.
She's in the studio. She slept with me that night.
We started hearing banging on the wall and then whispers that we couldn't explain.
Did you hear whispers? You never told me that.
Yep, heard whispers, couldn't make out what they were saying. And then something crashed, and we went out to find out what it was, couldn't find it. And then everything just stopped. I guess she got comfortable here and the haunting stopped.
That is very... So would you say the doll that I got you was haunted?
I would say that there was something maybe attached to the doll. Now, mind you, my house is very well protected from things coming in or going out or staying here.
True.
Because of years of working in this business, I've had to set it up to do so. So maybe it was haunted when it got here, and all the protective stuff I have around the house might have, like, quieted it down.
Well, I didn't want to bring you a evil doll. The lady assured me.
I appreciate that you didn't order me a doll like Chucky that was going to jump up and chase me around the house and go, nah, 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 nah.
Protect yourself from Chucky. Huh? Charles. Yeah, but I got you that doll. I thought it was really cool. And then I started thinking afterwards, I just got my co-host a doll that could be possessed by Satan. Even though the lady said it was nice, as we know, a lot of people say that evil things, you know, cling to these items and pretend to be good or whatever.
Could it have been Satan?
It could have been Satan. Speaking of which, Demon Hunter. Are you ready? Ghost Man. Tonight's guest.
Tell us all about it, Sean.
You didn't go dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun.
See, I'm off. Dun-dun-dun. Ladies and gentlemen, Shadow Nation, tonight's guest, priest of the Church of Satan, writer, director, and lecturer, Corvus Nocturnum. He's going to talk to us about vampires, zombies, and much, much more as he takes us down the eerie back roads of America with his new book, Eerie America, Tales of the Macabre, Demon Hunter. Tonight's guest, Corvus Nocturnum. Huh?
Now, Corvus is not the first member of the Church of Satan we've had on the show, Sean.
No, he's not, Demon Hunter. But he's he was a warlock of the Church of Satan, and he was recently made priest of the Church of Satan. We're having to break that down for us tonight. I'm not sure how that stuff works.
Do you get, like, a promotion, or is it more like a military thing, or...
I don't know. Maybe you have to sacrifice more goats. I don't know. He's going to break it down to us tonight.
Oh, no, don't go saying that. Remember what Peggy said to us when we made that comment.
It's a joke. Anyway, guys, Corvus Nocturnum, Vampires, Zombies, much, much more. He's a writer, director, and lecturer and priest of Church of Satan.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's a nice guest. Very exciting, Demon Hunter.
Always exciting, Mr. Burris.
It is. A lot of people talk that we've gotten away from, you know, the old format that we used to have. Guys, we've grown, you know. we do entertainment. We have the big names from Hollywood come on as well, you know, from Scott Wilson, The Walking Dead, Michael Rooker, The Walking Dead. Different people from different shows and things that deal with the paranormal. And then we have somebody like Corvus on that's a ghost hunter, like Nathan and I, a ghost investigator. And, you know, we have plenty of paranormal people on still, Demon Hunter. I don't understand. I am not knowing. I don't understand this.
Well, you know, there's that whole aspect out there of people thinking that you have to follow a certain pattern. And we do follow a pattern. Every week we come on and Sean and I talk about our lives. And then we talk about our guests. And then we talk about the news. And then we talk about, you know, a local legend. And then our favorite TV shows. And then we bring the guest on. That's
the old
pattern. The fact of the matter is,
yes,
we started the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. And you can tell by the title, the show was not about the latest and greatest breaking news in the paranormal. It was about why we love the paranormal.
That's
and why
it.
We love it is because of what how it affects our lives. And entertainment is now affected by the paranormal. So we're going to talk about it, and we're going to bring it to you.
We're going
to
do it, man. It's what we do.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Yes.
That's right.
Hey, did you hear Ghostbusters? There was a big write-up that they are doing Ghostbusters 3. It has began production.
Began?
I said begun. I'm trying to speak.
Egon?
Speak nice. Egon.
We lost Egon.
No, it was Do-Ray. Egon. That was great, man. No, they said that it's began production. They begin filming. I don't know if they begin filming. They begin production. Right.
Well, you know, that show was up in the air for so long because they had originally were going to do it, and then they decided they weren't going to do it, so they turned it into a video game.
Yeah.
Then they decided they wanted to do it, but then they couldn't get certain characters to come back, and then everybody was willing, but they couldn't get it all together. And now, you know, the writer and producer passed away.
Right.
And Egon passed away, and
no, I'm listening.
Apparently, he found 72 virgins.
See?
I'm not making any comments there.
Well,
the sound in the background.
That's my favorite sound bite.
I'm sure that is your favorite sound.
That's the G&D girl. That's our gal. She's always in the background. She's always there for us, Demon Hunter.
She's there for you, apparently.
She's always there. She's here in studio. I don't know what she's doing back there. I can never see her, though. I can never see her, Demon Hunter.
But, you know, but now apparently they want to bring it back with Harold Ramis personally recently passing away.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Everybody wants back in, and I think that's great. I think that's wonderful. It's a shame that Egon won't be in it. What can you do? They'll have to have a memorial to him during the show.
They will. And, you know, it's never going to live up to people's expectations, I don't think.
Well, no. I mean, let's face it. We were all excited about Ghostbusters 2. And
yeah. Just like our show's not for everybody out there. This show, guys, is about the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter. With guest, Demon Hunter, you explain it the best. Explain it to them. It's the same thing about Ghostbusters. They do it, of course, to make money, but they do films because they're artists and they create something.
Yeah,
right, Demon Hunter?
Like I said, this show was never about the paranormal.
See?
This show was about why we love the paranormal. And that's what we're bringing you. So
7 years on the air, baby.
Woohoo!
Demon Hunter, Shadow Nation,
Ghost Band
in the news. Yeah, it's always hot, it's always fresh, and it's always exciting and freaky and weird, and it starts right
now.
Ooh, Demon Hunter, first story tonight. Can I take it? Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna do it. Man does C-section on dead porcupine and saves baby.
We're really stretching for news this week. Huh?
We are. We had to reach far. You were researching it. You found these stories nice. But anyway, guys, special thanks to the Associated Press, as usual. We love those guys. A Maine man, not like, hey, you're the Maine man, but a Maine man from Maine, in search of a valuable mineral cut. Oh, wait. It didn't. There was no period there. A valuable mineral cut opened a dead porcupine on the side of the road and unexpectedly pulled out its baby.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Jarrett Buzzle. Drink up, guys. Of Lisbon. Lisbon. Says he was searching for wild mushrooms Thursday when he saw a porcupine get hit by a car in Minote. Drink up, guys. That's not your way, Demon Hunter. Is there a town called Minote?
You got me beat.
I don't know. Buzzle says he'd heard that a valuable mineral deposit used in Chinese medicine formed in the stomachs of porcupines. He then cut open the dead porcupine to search for the mineral. Instead, he found the baby. He tells WMTV TV, he tells WMTW TV he cut the umbilical cord and thought the baby porcupine was dead until he started massaging it and it began breathing. Buzzle's caring for the baby at his home currently and plans to give a licensed wildlife rehabilitator the baby.
Aww.
Isn't that cute? I thought that was a heartwarming story.
That's a heartwarming story, yeah. Sean. I'd like to remind folks, the reason Sean keeps saying drink up is because you're in the middle of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter drinking game.
Drink. Yeah.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Sean and I pick the news every week by the titles. We don't know what the stories are going to be. We don't read them in advance. So when we do read them, we are bound to make mistakes. And when we do, you take a drink. We take one along with you. That we do recommend that if you are driving your car, listening to us on a podcast, or planning to drive this evening after listening to us live,
don't do it.
Or just driving in general after a Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, don't play the G&D drinking game, because we make a lot of mistakes. So we remind you, listen responsibly.
Do it. We do this for the people.
Yes. On, Sean, to the next news story. Camera used in the moon landing sold for
$758,489. $758,000. My God. I'm going to sell my camera and say it was on the moon.
Well, that's the thing. Here, it was put on auction. This comes to us from AP News, Associated Press.
AP.
It was put on auction as a camera that made it to the moon and back.
Oh.
And it had a price of nearly $760,000. The Hasselblad, and I'm saying that how it's spelt, folks. Drink if you want to. 500.
You're wrong.
Sold over the weekend. Is described by the Vienna auctioneers.
See,
I said it right.
Drink for the pause, people. Drink for the pause and the cause.
Oh, I see.
Do it.
As part of an experiment carried by the 1971 Apollo 15 mission,
right.
The fourth manned mission to land on the moon. Galleria Westlake.
Gonorrhea.
Galleria.
Yeah.
Identifies the new owners as Japanese businessman. Oh, you're going to drink on this one, folks. Turkanuza Fujiwa.
Oh, just go ahead and finish that bottle. I will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says the owner of the electronics chain placed the winning bid of 550,000 euros by phone. Bidding started Saturday at 80,000 euros, just over $110,000. The gallery initially described the Hasselblad as the only camera ever brought back from the moon, but later said that it was one of several after some experts questioned the claim.
Ooh.
And of course, Sean, we have to wonder, how do we really know if it was the only camera on the moon. Because if it was the only camera on the moon, nobody got a picture of it being used.
How do we know that we actually landed on the moon? I'm going to go a little bit further.
Oh, you're one of those people.
Yeah, nobody knows. They say it was done in a warehouse that we never landed on the moon. I don't know. Are you done with the story?
I'm done with the story.
Next! The Huffington Post, thanks a bunch. By David Moy, thanks David. Giant rat that terrorized Swedish family demon hunter. They killed it at last. Huh?
Okay,
Apparently Swedish is looking for news. The Swedish more than we are. A Swedish family's three-week nightmare is over. Ratzilla has been killed, demon hunter.
Ratzilla.
Wasn't that a movie with Michael Jackson? That was Ben, wasn't it? Remember Ben, the huge rat that... guys, get us on Twitter and tell Nathan what Ben was. It was Ben. Michael Jackson was in it as a kid, and he had this pet fetish with this huge rat that lived in the walls, and finally they had to kill it or something, and... Yeah.
That's horrible.
Anyway, this Swedish family killed Ratzilla, which they named it. The gigantic rat that invaded the home of Eric Courses, drink up, guys, and Sydney Bangstone, drink up again, and set up shop under their kitchen sink, was dubbed Ratzilla by the news media. The couple suspected there was some kind of animal invader, but they didn't imagine an oversized rodent was in their midst. We thought it could be a little mouse, but after a while, we figured it couldn't be because it was making too much noise, demon hunter.
Hey.
Bankson told the... Drink up again, guys. Told the local... That's a newspaper. She got the shock of her life a few days later when she discovered the mutant gulping down leftovers under the sink. It was right there in our rubbish bin. A mighty monster. She said it's a mighty monster. It was petrified. I couldn't believe such a big rat could exist, she told the website. I couldn't help but do the old classic and jump on the kitchen table and scream. Huh? There's a lot of men that do that now, too, when they see a mouse.
Don't be ashamed, Sean.
Yeah. There's a lot of men that still do that.
Take them beans!
I do it. The pest apparently got into the kitchen through a ventilation pipe after gnawing through cement and wood. Demon hunter, the Ratzilla was so horrifying that the family cat refused to enter the kitchen. The BBC reports. They got a picture of this thing. It must be 2 foot long.
Oh, I doubt that.
It is, and it's the size of a small dog, and it's got a huge metal trap that got it. It shows. Yeah, this trap looks like something they would use in warfare. Exterminators were called to the couple's home in Solna, Sweden, drink up, and they set the rat traps for the monstrous rodent. Drink up both counts there, guys. Eventually, the rat was trapped by its neck, but took its sweet time dying, preferring to crawl behind the dishwasher for its final moments on Earth. The carcass measured about 16 inches in length, not counting the tail, and weighed around 2.2 pounds. Okay, 16 inches in length. A little over a foot. The kids were afraid it would come back to life as some sort of zombie rat. They didn't want to touch it, Courses told the local reporter. Huh?
Yeah, well, you know what? No zombie rats.
No zombie rats. Apparently, The Walking Dead is spreading. The kids think the rat's coming back. Huh?
Well, Sean, I don't think that wins for Story of the Week.
You don't think that's Story of the Week? It was pretty good.
It was good, but hey... Pip the psychic goat is a fraud.
Oh, no. Who would have called that?
This comes to us from the Huffington Post. A psychic goat is in a bad way.
Ah!
After everyone realized he's a fraud and a liar.
That's a joke. I like that.
Yeah, it's a bad joke, too. Oh,
bad.
It would have been an act of sheer stupidity to believe Pip the psychic goat's predictions that... Tarleton Town would defeat Southrop. Drink, folks. Suck it. Hey, watch it. Watch what you say.
I can say suck it.
Southrop. I can't even finish
say
that
suck
line. United in an epic soccer match last night. Everyone who bet on the UK goat pick had the wool pulled over Their eyes.
Ooh.
Goats don't have wool. What are they talking about?
Sorry?
Because Socotrope won 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will continue. They've got my interest beat, Sean.
So Socotrope won 2-0.
I can't even be serious saying these names because I can't figure out how it's supposed to be pronounced. But they won 2-0, apparently.
Well.
Pip was given a choice to eat from 3 different bowls of food. They were labeled telling him Drew and Suckenthrop. The Suckenthrope Telegraph reported.
Yeah.
Okay, this is like that ape that has picked the Super Bowl every year.
Yeah. What was it, Mandy or something?
The folks at Cotsworth Farm Park.
Hey, the ape did better than we did, remember?
Yeah, I know he did. Who were training Pip, hoped he'd enjoy some success as Paul the octopus. Hope he'd enjoy the same success as Paul the octopus, who is currently predicted the results of 7 of Germany's games in 2010 and the 2010 World Cup.
Just get drunk, Paul, guys. Whatever you got in front of you.
Yeah, Paul died after the predictions. He was only 2. So Paul the octopus is dead now, Sean. Oh. I got that. You got that?
How long does an octopus live?
I imagine they live older than 2.
I don't know. Hey, Demon Hunter, the next story leading into our next
segment. You don't want to hear how Pip finished out?
Oh, I thought you just said he was dead. Usually that's the end.
No, Paul the octopus is dead.
Oh, the puss.
Pip, no, apparently the octopus actually picked the games and then died. So okay. We know what happens to, like, animals who can make predictions.
This
now.
Is a great story, Demon Hunter.
Pip is off to a rough start. Mm. Just drink everything you got, folks. Perhaps overseas are calling for the return of Paul after Pip's epic blunder.
Oh.
Papers overseas, sir. You know what, folks? Just drink the whole bottle in front of you. And unless it's like a 2-liter one, I don't want to get arrested for causing alcohol poisoning.
You ain't working.
But we know some shoo-ins who can replace Paul, unlike Raise Pip. The there's a teddy bear. You know what, folks? I just don't even know where to go with this because it's ridiculous. Let's go on to the next one.
Inconceivable!
That was a great story, Demon Hunter. Moving on!
I tried, man. It,
you did.
Hey. Pip Paul Poser...
say that 3 times. Pit Paul Poser. Say I missed it.
And Scutherthrope or whatever it is.
Scutherthrope. Big Bog.
Let's see the next one.
Big Bog. These are brains. They're going into a beer. Any questions?
Yes. Who would do this?
Who would do this? These are brains. They're going into a beer. Any questions? Asked the Huffington Post. You ready for this, Demon Hunter?
I'm always ready.
It's Friday. Happy hour beckons. You'd be forgiven for having booze on the brain, but at Dock Street Brewing Company in Philadelphia lately, it's less about the booze and more about the brains. As in brains. That's my zombie, then. The surprising new ingredient for zombie-themed beer, brewed in honor of The Walking Dead. A post-apocalyptic zombie show on the AMC, the beer named The Walker, I gotta get some of this, Walker is all its name, uses smoked goat brains. Ugh. To add what the brewers say are intriguing, subtle smoke notes.
Huh? Anytime they put something weird in food and refer to it as intriguing, I am less apt to try it.
That's nasty. Intriguing. Goat brains, guys. It's called the Walker.
Call it delicious, I might try it. Call it intriguing, I'm like, no.
It's called the Walker. You can get that from the Dock, D-O-C-K, Street Brewing Company. We might have to get that and put it on the shelf in the studio. Huh? Anyway, it's called the Walker. It's called Walker. He uses smoked goat brains, guys. I didn't stutter. I just repeated myself. To add what the brewers are saying, intriguing, subtle smoke notes. Lest the drinker forget, they're imbibing. Drink up, guys. Brains. Brewers also pitch cranberries to the brew for a color they describe as sinister and bloody. Huh? Oh, man. And they actually show a picture here, guys, of brains.
See, I can't do it, Sean. I can't drink it. I can't.
You got
to. I can't stand when people put fruit in my beer. Forget it.
Well, let's get two on the G&D show, and we'll chug it. I'll send you one. You send me one. And we'll chug it as fast as we can. We'll actually put it on the webcam. How about that? We'll put the video up. See if you vomit. They actually got a Bud Light commercial below this. Let me finish it. This isn't an ill-timed April Fool's joke, Demon Hunter. These are goat brains, and they're about to be smoked and added to the Walker Brew. In a pun-filled release on Facebook, Doc Street says the American Pale Stout is the brainchild of head brewer Justin Lowe and representative Sasha Sertoware. Drink up, guys. In true Walker fashion, the release adds, don't be surprised if its head doesn't hang around forever. The beer, that's two. That's two jokes that they put out there.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah, like ours. The beer is actually really good. Serto Ware drink told Philly.com, seeking to sway potentially headstrong drinkers. Walker will be available, Demon Hunter, at the brewery on the evening of Sunday, March 30th to coincide with the season finale of the show. That's tonight, buddy. For diehard fans, seems like a no-brainer. That's three! That's three.
Oh, good grief.
Thank you, Charlie. That's what he says about our jokes. Demon Hunter, that is in the news.
Thank God it's over.
Yeah, thank God. Moving right along to our next segment at 7:50. Yeah. Shadow Nation! Newcomers, welcome. Our next segment is a G&D show original, which means me and Nathan came up with it, G&D, because we're the Ghostman Demon Hunter. It's a G&D original segment where we scour the Earth, not the universe yet, but the Earth, looking each week for a new legend, an outstanding legend, and take you down the haunted back roads of America in search of these legends to find out real, mysterious, or phony. This week's legend, Demon Hunter, is
the Superstition Mountains.
Oh, it's a good one. It's a place you always want to go to.
I want to go to the Superstition Mountains so badly.
See? That's what I'm trying to tell you.
That's right, folks. Sean and I are going to talk to you right now about what is one of my favorite legends and where one that he and I are going to go check out. We just have to.
We got to.
The Superstition Mountains, Superstition Wilderness. They're not actually mountains, Sean. They're more like hills, and they've got some buttes, but it's filled with all sorts of great legends. There's decapitated bodies. There's the lost Dutchman mine, and there is an angry thunder god.
Oh, Thor!
No, more like Dances with Thor.
Dances with Wolves, Thor. I got you.
I got you.
I made the connection.
But
there.
The mountain range covers a part of Arizona and. I believe it's considered part of the Phoenix area. And if you actually travel to the Superstition Mountains, I understand there is a small town nearby that's a bit of a tourist trap, similar to, I guess, if you went to south of the border on your way from New England to Florida. However, the park itself, the Lost Dutchman Mine Park, is beautiful. And
that's what I heard.
As we can tell by the name, there are people constantly looking for the Lost Dutchman Mine. What is the Lost Dutchman Mine? Well, the Lost Dutchman Mine is probably one of the nation's most, fruitful gold mines that was named after a German immigrant.
German.
Is German. Who?
Oh, good grief.
I believe his name was Jacob Walt. But he was one of the owners of the mine. Everybody who's owned the mine has died or been lost in some mysterious, horrible way. And in fact, the last owner of the mine, his entire group of men who were mining the mine itself were all slaughtered by Indians.
Did our buddy Patrick go there?
Not yet. Well, he picks one mine.
Okay.
This mine I want to go to because, nobody can find it. They've been looking for it for a century. And it's, like I said, the last group that worked the mine were slaughtered by Indians. Up until the early 1970s, people were still finding bags, or what was left of bags, with gold nuggets in them that the miners had dug out or were paid with or anything like that. because so many people were slaughtered there, so much was lost, and the Indians weren't there for the gold. They were trying to protect the land of their thunder god. The actual mine itself, like I said, missing. But so many people have gone out looking for it over the years that dozens of people have been lost in the hills.
Oh my God.
Some of them were found with their bodies, but not their heads.
See? That's why you don't go looking for mounds.
As recently as 2012, maybe even last year, I do recall hearing about something about it last year, groups of hikers would go into the park itself and just vanish.
Oh!
So,
and you want us again, to go,
Sean,
there.
One of my favorite locations of some, of course, some people say that the decapitated bodies were brought about by the thunder god, annoyed that people were desecrating sacred land. Right. But it is a national park. It is available to the public. I will warn you, there are some survivalists living out in those hills. Right. And even my brother-in-law went hiking out in those hills one day, did get bitten by a rattlesnake while he was out there.
He lives out there?
If you go out, wear your high boots and come back before sundown. And that's the Superstition Mountains, our legend of the week, Sean.
I was looking at the pictures.
Pinhead weighs 8 pounds.
Did you know that, Demon Hunter? Listen.
Human head weighs 8 pounds.
It weighs 8 pounds. Human head.
Oh, yours seems a bit light there, Sean.
Yeah, I think mine's more like 4 pounds.
Hey, Bob, he ain't working.
He ain't. Demon Hunter! That was Superstition Mountain. We got to get out there. Hey, we spent the night in, this is nothing. We can conquer this. We've been all over. We actually walked around many haunted cemeteries at dusk that were said if you were out there, demons would steal your soul and such. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. We've done it all. So why not go, see, it's not the thunder god that scares me.
Yeah.
It's not the, rattlesnakes that scare me.
No, it's not the god.
It's the survivalist with the guns that's scary. That's true.
Yeah, because you never know what you're going to find out there in those woods, Demon Hunter, or the hills, the mountains. I mean, it looks like a big, it's just out in the middle of a bunch of lowland, and all of a sudden you got these huge spikes that go up to the heavens. It's a huge mountain. So, yeah, we got to head out there, Demon Hunter. We got to do it. Moving on, our next segment, Demon Hunter. Here we go.
Hi, this is Matt Milk from the Zombie Research Society, and here's your weekly update from the G&D Zombie Alert System. Now back to you, Sean and Nate.
Thanks, Matt!
Thank you, Matt. That's right, Sean. Once again, for you, the people, we scour the internet. We look through the CDC and OSHA and to every news channel out there to find out if there have been any biting attacks, oil, chemical, or biological spills that could lead to a zombie attack that could put our listeners in danger. And we bring that news to you. And this week, folks, there are no biting attacks, there are no biological spills, there are no chemical spills, and there's no news of anything of any kind that could lead to a zombie attack. So, for the first time in a very long time, Sean, we are lowering the zombie alert status.
Oh, man, I feel great.
We are lowering it to low, in fact. So
low risk of zombie attacks, Demon Hunter.
Well, you know, there was a period there where people were just attacking people, trying to bite their faces off and stuff. And fortunately, that's all calmed down.
That's all calmed down, and I feel really good about that. But that leads into the next segment that's on the same page, because you say no zombie attacks. We'll find out tonight on Rot Talk, as we find out each week, Demon Hunter, what happens on The Walking Dead.
Dun-dun-dun.
Huh?
Dun-dun-dun.
There it is.
Spoiler alert, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't caught up with The Walking Dead, we are going to talk about past episodes and what we think are is going to happen next. So if you don't want to hear what happens, stick your fingers in your ears for the next minute and go la 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 la, because we're going to be talking about The Walking Dead.
That's it.
Sean?
Yes.
It's the last episode of the season tonight.
I can't believe it. It came so fast, and it won't happen again.
That's what she said.
See? She did say. I can't help it. Sex is a race. Can't help if I finish first. See? That was good. Okay. Anyway, guys, each week on Rot Talk, as my brother Demon Hunter said, we talk about the new episode, and tonight is a big one. It is the season finale. We won't see him again until October. Of course, that's Rick. That's Chandler Riggs, which plays Carl on the show. Michonne, there's some stuff going on tonight. Nobody knows. Everybody split up. Some of the group, Maggie, Glenn, and the rest found
each other again.
Yeah, they found Terminus last week.
Yeah.
What do you think that place is?
I've got a feeling we're looking at a pretty scary cult there, Sean.
I think so, too. It's the middle of a zombie apocalypse, and these people just happen to stroll through your front gate, and the lady's having a barbecue out back. I'm thinking that.
Hey, you got to wonder, too. I didn't see a lot of people hanging around the barbecue. are we talking some maybe cannibalism going on here?
I don't know. There's a lot of buildings around there, a lot of flowers, and some people are saying that they think Beth was taken, abducted by these people, the car outside the house when they ran out. Remember that?
Well, true, and you got to remember, we are looking at a point where the human population is dwindling, and a young woman could be considered a very good breeder for the society.
A rarity.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, Demon Hunter, I think, it's going to leave us hanging tonight. More questions than answers tonight on The Walking Dead, but it should be a good one.
Well, you know, I do, like I said, I believe that we're going to see, we know we're going to see a battle between Daryl's new group and Rick and Michonne and Carl. I think Rick is going to get separated from his son, and that would lead, you know, he's just going to lose everything at that point. And will he fall apart or will he go haywire? Well, Rick has a tendency to fall apart. But I got to say, Sean, I am actually interested, and we rarely ever talk about other talk shows and things like that, but I am actually interested in watching The Talking Dead this evening because the actor who plays Rick is going to be on for the first time on a show actually talking live about The Walking Dead.
See, I don't think I'll watch it because he has a British accent. He's British. And it kind
and
of
it ruins it for you?
It does. It ruins it. I thought Rick was an all-American type hero guy. And well, the British are just misplaced Americans. I'm kidding, guys.
Oh, there went our European ratings.
I know we got a lot of UK listeners, and we love you guys. Huh? Demon Hunter, tonight's guest...
Dun, dun, dun.
Corvus Nocturnum stops by, author of over 12 books, Allure of the Vampire, Satan's Minions, Eerie America, his latest book, guys, Priest of the Church of Satan, and much, much more, as he takes us down these shadowy, eerie back roads of America and tells us some of the more haunted places we could visit, Demon Hunter, tonight on your Mystifying Orco Radio.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Ghostman Demon Hunter Show. Guys, we're going to break. Distemper is the band. The name of the song is Blue... Hold on a second. The name of the song is Blue Lights, guys. Enjoy. This is Distemper. Shadow Nation, hold on. We'll be right back.
Небо звезд в ключае. Только что-то не спится. Все вокруг умирает. Чтобы снова родиться. Тысячи военных объектов вычеркнут новейшие карты. Вырастут святые деревья. Во дворах заброшенных фабрик высохнут кровавые реки. Нефть заменит топливом мирным. Войны прекратятся навеки. И бездомный пес станет мирным. Может быть тогда будет лучше этот мир. Чистая вода, города без черных дыр. Может в тот же час небо пальцем надави. Выльются на нас потоки счастья и любви. Может быть тогда будет нечего делить. И про холода можно навсегда забыть. Может быть тогда на другой конец земли отвезут меня волшебные страсти кораблей. Каждый виновен, что мир так устроен. Каждый обязан видеть заразу. Люди, микробы, копятся злоба. Землю кусками режем лесами. Синяя, синяя ночь, ночью наблюдается.
Я хоть воевать не умею, как всегда попал в эпицентр. Снова жизнь повесит на шею, смету за грехи и проценты. Как бы не хотел, но придется заплатить. Видно, мой удел под обстрелом мирно плыть. В океане грез и бодрящего вина, чтоб в ночном веселье утопить свой страх полна. Как бы не хотел, но придется с этим жить. Я же не успел жизни путь определить. Может, еще раз мне попробуют помочь. Беспробудно синие чарующие ночь. Каждый виновен, что мир так устроен. Каждый обязан видеть заразу. Если не расскажешь словами, синяя, синяя ночь, молча наблюдай за нами. Синяя, синяя ночь, если не расскажешь словами.
Enjoy yourselves. Oh my God.
I am not
Hey, it is Sunday night. Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Demon Hunter!
Ghostman!
Ghostman. Special thanks to our band tonight, Distemper from Russia. Name of the album, My Underground. Special thanks to freemusicarchive.org and, of course, licensing by Creative Commons. Got to pay some bills there, Demon Hunter.
Always got to pay the bills. Otherwise, we will pay big time.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, but tonight's guest, he is Shadow Nation, a priest of the Church of Satan, author of over 12 books, director and lecturer, Mr. Corvus Nocturnum. Corvus, what's going on, buddy?
Sitting back and enjoying the night, getting ready for The Walking Dead myself.
Oh, there you go, buddy. Yeah, we just had a Walking Dead segment. Each week we talk about what's going to happen. What do you think is going to happen tonight, Corvus?
I'm with you guys. I don't think that Mrs. Creepy Happy Hippie at Terminus is all that she appears to be. I think she's trying to lure people in to put them in a stew pot.
See, that's what I thought. Everybody at I was at work, and they said that they thought that was Beth on the grill back there.
I don't know. I mean, she could have scooped her up and then swerved back around. You know, you don't know about these people.
You know, Beth is awful hot. I might have to do some Beth strips if they were there.
Older than she appears on the show. If you look her up on, you know, on Google, she's not such a young, you know, underage that they're trying to imply on the show.
Yeah, she's a little bit older. She's a musician, actor, right?
Yeah, she's got a couple CDs out, apparently, and a really good voice.
Yeah, she does. But Corvus, you've done some amazing things. I wanted to introduce you tonight and get right into it because you've done so much. And like I said before, you're an author, you're a director, you're a lecturer. I don't know how you found the time. We've both done a little show business here, Nathan, myself, and you. Let's start with the Church of Satan, the priest of the Church of Satan. Recently, you were made priest, right?
Middle of last year, it's been quite an unusual ride for me. I first got introduced to Satanism when a friend of mine just threw the Satanic Bible at me, you know, when I was studying everything from Ayn Rand and Nietzsche and, you know, witchcraft and everything. Just, you know, I was growing and expanding my personal library at the time, and it seemed to appeal to me, and I was already researching dark subcultures and alternative lifestyles, religions, that sort of thing, writing my first book almost a decade ago when I did Embracing the Darkness. And I decided to join. And since then, I've risen in the ranks because they feel that I walk the walk, talk the talk, and I represent them pretty well on the radio and other media sources. So they elevated me to the priesthood for doing a good job, I guess.
Now,
Corvus, I just want to ask you, we've had, you know, members of the Church of Satan on before. High Priestess Peggy was on the show. And we, you know, she had made the statement that, you know, our show has a lot of followers. Some of those followers have other shows, and it became a big deal once people heard her say, the Church of Satan doesn't worship Satan. And I tell people this all the time, and they look at me and say, well, what do they do? And I figured this would be a good chance to hear from your mouth what the Church of Satan actually does.
Well, we do whatever we please as long as it doesn't harm anybody else. We're all about the ego, the self, and that's not always negative. I want to clarify a caveat right off the bat that I made the point at my last lecture this weekend at Smoky Crystal shop up in Michigan, you know, if you're a parent, you're taking care of your kids. What good are you to your child if you're sick? I mean, you need to take care of yourself. You need to put yourself first and be happy and healthy and be a good example for the rest of the world. So
that's right. When the plane
doesn't always have to be a negative thing.
When the plane is crashing, they tell you, put your mask on first and then attend to the mask of the child.
Exactly. I mean, you're no good to somebody else if you're dead. So
that's true.
We just take it a couple steps further. You know, I like to say that we are not hedonists, you know, just outright gluttons that do whatever without consequence. We're very big on responsibility to the responsible. We're more elitist and Epicureans. We like the finer things and we work really hard to get them. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to run roughshod over other people to get your wants met in life. It just means you have to get off your butt, look in the mirror, and say, I'm responsible for my own happiness no matter what roadblocks are in my way. You overcome them, you work extra hard. You know, in my case, you don't sleep all that much, but you get a lot done.
Yeah. Well, you're a shining example of that. I mean, my God, you've done so much. You've done so much stuff. I mean, it's been amazing. Your books, just everything. But before we get into that, the Church of Satan, I just wanted to ask one more thing. You're a Hoosier, like myself. An Indiana kid, and we grew out here kind of in the Bible Belt. How was it growing up, and when you decided to go to the Church of Satan, what was the parent thing like with the family and stuff, you know?
The family was kind of perplexed by it, the ones that are still left alive. I mean, I'm kind of fortunate in a way. I know this sounds really bad, but most of my family has passed on, and the ones that are left kind of have seen me go through so many transitions and growth and expanding and questioning. I mean, I blame my grandmother and grandfather for this more than anything, because my grandfather was a member of the Masonic order, and his father before him. So, you know, when you get all the occult trappings mixed with Christianity, and, you know, Baphomet was drawn by Eliphas Levy, one of the older Masons during, you know, pre-Golden Dawn.
Don't go giving away our secrets here.
And then, of course, you've got my grandmother on the other side who played vaudeville and was friends with Bing Crosby. Oh, and, nice. You know, she grew up around gypsies traveling Broadway. And, you know, she was heavy into Bermuda Triangle, which actually I'll be going with Brian Cano as a speaker come this December on Spirit Cruise. So if you guys want to head down to the Bermuda and Bahamas area, you know, hop on board. We're going.
You know, I just got back from there, Corvus. I just got back. I sailed across.
I'm a little nervous about the whole, you know, Titanic sort of giant boat going under, but I'm going to try it. It's doing it for my grandma.
Well, don't worry. We have archived. We will, after the show, archive your show. So people will be able to listen to you for years to come while you're missing. It'll be a big selling point for us, you know.
Every year after the ship goes down, we'll say, and tonight we'll be playing in honor the Corvus Noctum Memorial Show. It's
that's great.
Well, I want to be remembered. That's why I do as much as I do.
But Corvus, one of my greatest magazines that I love, I know America knows, Penthouse Forum, interviewed you because you're so into the vampire with books like Allure the Vampire and many more on that subject. What's the draw to the vampires, and what have you found out? I know you've done a lot of research.
I'm actually just completed a second book on the history of vampires of the world for Schiffer Publishing, From Myth to Modern Day. It's called Vampire Evolution. And, you know, it's kind of a follow-up to Allure the Vampire, where that was about the history of sexuality in vampires, because it's so complicated and lengthy. And I kind of had to break it up into several books. Yeah, about the different facets. And, you know, I'm so busy with my own publishing company and doing other books and projects, I can't, you know, put everything out. So I put it to Schiffer, and they do such a good job with the color books like Zombie Nation and Haunted Asylums and everything. So, you know, I can't go wrong going with somebody else either. But, I think the appeal of vampires and their sexuality is that, unlike zombies who just die and rot away and try to eat you, and we want to shoot them in the head because, you know, ooh, it's an apocalypse and I can do that. I think vampires are sexual to us because they die, but they come back beautiful. They come back as mesmerizing, and they've beaten death. Even though they're technically dead, you know, they still, you know, look and act and behave like us, but they'll always be charming and seductive and, you know, at the prime of their lives, depending on how old they were, you know, they were turned, depending on what folklore that you're applying to the case. But as a general rule, I think that's the big difference between the zombie and the vampire, is we are drawn to the vampire more for its sexuality and its power and its charisma than anything else. And well, of course, you have those sick people out there that say, hey, that zombie girl looks pretty hot. But that's their thing.
Well, she does.
Well, and I can assume that looking into it, going back to the traditional role of the vampire versus the traditional role of the zombie, vampirism, even if, you know, you were mesmerized or you were like taken by force, in the end, you had to choose to be a vampire, where you had to accept it, where in voodoo lore, especially, the zombie is something that was done to you.
It's for the most part. I mean, different countries like Hungarian and Yugoslavian, old Russia, a lot of their myths and legends of pre-1400s, they were saying that if you were an immoral human being when you died, or if you committed suicide, you were buried at the crossroads, or something along those lines, you may be forced to come back as one of the undead. But, you know, I made the point in both books to say that the early vampires, the Nosferatu, and before them, the more Rembrandt's sort of creatures, they bore such a close resemblance to both creatures that it was very hard to tell them apart. And it wasn't until the German poetry in the 1800s and slightly before, and Lord Byron and everything, where the vampire truly started to shift into the, you know, the sexual predator. Unless you go into history and you look back in the Babylonian and Sumerian empires when they're talking about that the succubus and incubus were seducing people, but you know, they were more demons in the Jewish culture more than anything. But there are definitely some traces between the succubus and Lilith, and you know, using that type of mythology and religion to bring it forward to our modern day vampire. Because I mean, you have, you know, the Crypt Keeper in the Bordello of Blood, and you know, that hot redhead was Lilith, and she was the mother of all vampires. So
smoking.
A lot of the stories really change things up here and there. It depends on the author. It depends on the folklorist and the researcher.
And, of course, eventually it leads to the modern-day era when vampires are mostly sparkly morons in trees.
Oh, don't mention that. They're not vampires. They're just one of the examples of how not to be promiscuous for the Mormons, I think.
Hey, Corvus, I got to ask you, and this might be a stupid question for a guy that's as educated as you are with the vampire and the vampire phenomena. Do you think at any time in history, let me start out here. When I was a kid, I used to walk to the library, and I couldn't read enough or see enough on ghosts and vampires and werewolves. And I got a book one time, and I forget the name of it, but in the very back had a spell. It had a spell on how to become a werewolf. It said to go in this certain way. I think it was the crossroads, and how to do it and what to say and what to chant. Do you think that there is maybe any chance that there's a secret society of, I'm not going to say undead, but maybe possessed people that have these type of powers, at least somewhat throughout history, if not now, that may have been mistook as these vampires or whatever?
Not from my history researching vampires or secret societies. I know a lot of people claim that you can prolong life through, you know, healthy eating, of course, and everything. And even my family, most people on both sides live to be anywhere from 90 to 105 years old.
Right.
And, you know, I'm happy about that, of course, for genetic reasons for myself. But, you know, I don't really think there's any validity to anything close to immortality, unless we get into the more modern age of pyrogenics and, you know, the science of rejuvenating cells and things like that. I think it's more of a science fiction at this point than any hidden knowledge that's existed before us. I mean, there's a modern day lifestyle vampire, but that's not exactly the same thing as the true folklore vampire. They just use the trappings as an archetype, and you know, energy, chakras, and blood as a you know, some of them do it for a sexual fetish, others do it as a, you know, they actually believe that this is something that they need. It gets really complicated. I try to explain it the best I can in a couple books I've written.
Right. And now, Demon Hunter and I have spent some time in New Orleans at Lafferty's Blacksmith Shop. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
I actually was down in New Orleans in the French Quarter for Cirque du Soleil giving a lecture last October, right before Halloween, so I'm familiar with the area.
Well, Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop is actually the last bar on Bourbon Street, and besides being known as a vampire bar and a haunted bar and a cop bar, it's it's a great bar. So it's if you go back down, it's the one you want to try.
I definitely want to investigate places like that. One of the sneaky side reasons I was down there was not just to meet and greet fans during the vampire soiree, but I was researching places that I wanted to go expose myself for other reasons.
Right. Now, on your website, and I believe I can mention this, Corvus, because it's in under your biography, not only are you a well-known author, a great author, but you are owner of Dark Moon Productions, as you said, and you're teaming up with Core Films. Now, can we talk about this?
We can mention it now. We were trying to keep it kind of under wraps while we were in pre-production because we didn't want anybody to steal our idea. But
we know all about that.
Yeah, we know how tight-lipped you got to be on that stuff. But on your website, under your bio, not only are you a great author, but you're teaming up with Core Films because you're the executive producer of a new project you're working on, Eerie America Travel Guide of the Macabre. Can you tell us a little bit about that? It's off your book.
Right. The book just came out, but we were researching it, and my co-author, Kevin Eads, have been working on it for over 2 years. And, you know, since the book was actually finished and put off the shipper, we've actually gotten fan reaction and more research on our own where we could have tripled the size of the book. And I'm still looking for new places, by the way. So if any of your listeners out there pick up a copy of the book and say, hey, he forgot one, by all means, add me on Facebook and shoot me a message, because there's a very good chance that we'll be in your backyard one of these days filming. Right now, it's not officially been greenlit, but A&E is taking a second look at our pitch materials, and I've put it out there to National Geographic. We're going to Travel Channel as well. I'm at the point where whoever offers me the best deal, I'm taking it, and, you know, it's basically us going around the country, showing people the really cool places to eat at, to spend the night at, to go shopping at. You know, we wanted to call it the Adams Family Travel Guide, but that was already copywritten, so we had to go with Erie America instead.
Right. And I can't wait to, I want to read this book, because growing up in Indiana, like you did and like I did, and we were talking about this before the show, there's just a feeling here of, you know, the autumn leaves and cemetery trees. I actually wrote a poem about it one time because I was sitting in a cemetery and I was listening to the sound of silence and, you know, the leaves falling to the ground. And I actually mentioned that it's that time, in the time of shadow, that I believe you can hear our ghost talk. And, you know, you capture that with some of your books. And you can tell that you're a Hoosier, because I think this is the only place on the planet that it inspires that, right? Like in October here and stuff like that.
I mean, if you live in New Orleans or you live in Salem, Massachusetts, you know, you're going to get that more often. But I think where we live, because it's more of an open, woodsy, you know, especially during fall when everything starts to change and there's not as many people around, you kind of do have that, you know, extra spooky, I don't know, I call it typo negative October rust sort of soundtrack in the back of your mind while you're going down the road as the sun sets, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just the smell's different, the feel. Everything just falls over the land. Everything's slower. People are more in tune. They say the veil between the two worlds are at its thinnest, you know?
I mean, Indiana's got a lot of stuff to it. You know, there was the cult killings at the Mound State Park in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. Got the Whispers Estates, the Willard Library, the Hanna House that was during the Underground Railroad, you know, there was a fire that killed a bunch of people, and you know, they claim that there's a poltergeist there, and it's now a bed and breakfast. We've got the Barbie Hotel and Restaurant, and what's awesome about that is Al Capone used it as a hideout in the 1920s, and there's tons of stuff in every single state across the United States.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's amazing. And I actually live two blocks south of the Hanna House. You know, I grew up right around the Garfield Park area, if you're familiar with Indianapolis. And
okay, I've been down to Indy a few times.
Yeah, and I used to go and knock on the back door and run when the Hanna House was an antique store. And on Halloween, we would go back there and knock and run. And I remember the old lady screaming at us that owned the antique store. And, of course, I met Pam and the caretakers now. But now it's more of a museum / lecture hall where people go and they do ghost tours and stuff. But, yeah, the Hanna House has always had a special place in my heart. And that's one of the things with Erie America and things of that nature. You can take people, even if they've never been there before or maybe never get there, you take them there through your stories.
That's one of my goals, you know, because I've seen different smatterings of these places on a few TV shows or a documentary now and then, but nobody's ever done the full scope of the whole country and, you know, the places that would be a travel guide, you know, for everything, even where to eat and where to shop at. And when we filmed the sizzle reel to try to make a pilot, we went to the Great Escape Restaurant, and it was an old prison, one of the oldest ones in the country. And they used the iron bars as decor, The walls were still the same. You know, it definitely had a creepy vibe to it, and we enjoyed the food. It was a 5-star place. But, you know, before we even went there, what inspired the book in the first place is I went to the Mutter Museum and drove past the East State Penitentiary. You know, I took the tour at the Mutter, which is kind of a really creepy but cool scientific history place where they have the soap lady and, you know, the two conjoined twins that were circus performers. They have their bust in there, and they've got the world's largest skull collection and a giant statue that's like 8 feet tall. You know, it was really bizarre and creepy, and I was thinking to myself, there's got to be more places like this out there to see. And somebody in the audience, you know, behind me in the tour was talking about how they went to the Edgar Allan Poe Museum, and next they want to go see, you know, the places that inspired H.P. Lovecraft to write his Dark Twisted Tales. And the light bulb just went off in my head, and I thought, another book to write. And, you know, it got so big, I had to bring in a co-author. And then when I talked to the people in the city of Salem, you know, the museum out there, the lady was asking me about bringing my crew down, and that another light bulb went off, and I thought, okay, let's turn this book into a TV show. So, you know, 2 years later, here we are knocking on doors trying to get people to, you know, give us the funding to get this thing on the road.
Well, I've got to tell you, if you wind up going down to Baltimore to check out all the crazy things that went on with Edgar Allan Poe, like the Poe toaster and the his grave and his house and all those wonderful Poe things, you've got to stop at a restaurant called the Annabelle Lee. To this day, it's probably some of the best food I've ever had. It's a Poe-inspired restaurant, and it's a tavern. It really is just a tavern, but the food they serve is 5-star. It's incredible.
Well, that's great, because one of the things we want to do at the very end of each program is rate the places that we've been to give people, you know, real value. If they want to follow along with us, if they want to use the shows as an inspiration to go there themselves, that's part of what we're doing it for. And the rest is just to educate and treat people along the way if they don't have the means to go there themselves. I mean, this is the kind of thing I would watch. You know, when I'm going to different horror and paranormal conventions, talking to people, getting them interested in it, I bump into Cleve Hall, who is Sci-Fi Channel's special effects creator on his own show called Monster Man. And he was eavesdropping. He turned around and he said, "Hey, I would watch that show." You know, I'm talking to, you know, some fellow, you know, travelers and TV people, you know, who are in the paranormal, and they're like, you know, we get tired of watching our own type of shows. We tune into this because it's not a ghost show.
Right.
You know, I never stopped to think about that the paranormal people would tune in for this because it's like a cop not wanting to watch cops when they get off work. They want to constantly see the same thing.
Absolutely. You need something to watch in your downtime. But Corvus, where can people find out more about you, brother? Send you those stories they know of.
Okay. They can go to CorvusNocturnum.com, and you can email me straight through there. You can see the list of books I have, and there's an actual interview with me on the BET on the Lexi show where I'm talking all about Satanism on the media link. And by all means, add me on Facebook, and that's one of the quickest ways to reach out to me. You know, I'm always giving updates on my schedule of presentations and new books that are coming out. You know, darkmoonpress.com, you can find all the books that not only myself has put out, but by 30 other authors I'm so happy to be putting out this year. It's been growing over the last decade to, you know, from one book up to over 140.
That's amazing. Demon Hunter, do you have anything else for Corvus?
I would love to spend the night talking to him, but you know what, Sean? We're Walking Dead fans, and it comes on soon, so we've got to wrap.
We got to pay some bills. Hey, Corvus, you're the best, buddy, and you're an amazing author, and we wish only the good things for you, and I look forward to seeing Eerie America on the television real soon, brother.
Well, thank you, guys.
All right, could you hold on the line 1 second?
Sure.
Demon Hunter, let's pay some bills, baby brother.
Sounds good to me. Let's get started with... music.
We're going to start with the music real quick. Okay, guys, special thanks to Planet Paranormal, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Creative Commons, and remember to go to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and be a cancer supporter. I'm sorry, a cancer fighter, like G&D Show, Susan G. Komen, 3-Day Race for the Cure. We're supporters. You be supporters. Creations by Souls Denounced. That's soulsdenounced.com. Thanks for the bump. Midnight Syndicate, thanks for the tunes. Hey, from the haunted backroads of America, this has been another G&D exclusive interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter!
Because we love you.
Night, guys.